Welcome to the January 9th, 2013 Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. The first item on the agenda is roll call, and everyone is here except Megan Luce, who is called in. Item two, board business. Item A, introduction of new commissioners. We have one new commissioner, James Steele. Welcome. And I understand you're an architect, which is wonderful. Just lost an architect, or loss is a test word. After 13 years, and as you're Tacoma native, that's great. So, thought if we might take a moment to introduce ourselves, give you some context, maybe give each other some context about our backgrounds, just maybe say how long you've been on the commission, possibly your interest in this, where you work, actually anything that you care to say. I'll start since I came up with the idea. I'm Ken. This is my first meeting as I may be the chair. We'll see in the next agenda. I'm the chair at this moment. I've been on the commission about 6 years. I've lived in Tacoma about 7 years, always in Western Washington. Other than that, I'm an archivist, and I work for the National Archives in Seattle. And my interest in historic preservation is primary. It's just always been my hobby. Nothing more than that.
Ed Eckling, and I'm from Western Washington as well, and I'm a historian, and I'm just beginning my second term on the commission.
I'm Katie Chase. I work for Artifacts Consulting, a historic preservation firm, so I'm an architectural historian and have a master's degree in historic preservation, so this ties in obviously very well with what I do.
I'm Jonah Jensen. I'm the other architect now. I'm with BLRB Architects, and I've been on the commission about 2 years now. My interest is, simply put, historic buildings.
I'm Dan Ray. I'm a surveyor, I've been on the commission, I guess, 8 months or so, I think, somewhere in that ballpark. My interest in this particular commission has been, I've been active in the community for almost as long as I've lived here, which has been about 5 years. So it's been a good outlet for getting to know how things work and being involved in the city's history.
I'm Marshall McClintock, and I'm the ex officio member for the North Slope Historic District. That means I don't get to vote, I just get to talk. I've been a resident in the North Slope for going on about 11 years now, and been on the commission for 2 years.
My name is Duke York, and I'm a general contractor, native of Tacoma, very interested in the history of Tacoma, always have been for many, many years, and so this fits quite well.
My name is Ross Buffington. I'm also a native of Tacoma. I live in the newly created Wedge Historic District, and I'm their representative on the commission. Before that, I was a commissioner for 6 years previously. My wife and I are restoring an old house in the Wedge neighborhood. It's a two-year project. We're now in year number 8.
Do I have to do the same?
Only if you choose. That you agreed to serve.
I'm James Steele. I'm born and raised in Tacoma, lived in Seattle most recently, and just moved back to Tacoma about 2 years ago. And my wife and I just had a daughter, first kid, 8 months ago, so that was kind of the impetus for moving back to Tacoma. And I live sort of between UPS and the Proctor District. I'm an architect, and I have been up until 8 months ago working up in Seattle, but after the baby was born, I decided I didn't want to commute anymore, so I'm kind of taking a look at things down in Tacoma and deciding whether or not I want to hang my own shingle or not. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Met the staff of the office. Item 2B on the agenda is officer elections. And since there have been no other nominations, unless I hear another nomination, I would move that we declare myself as chair and Ed Eckley as vice chair by acclamation.
moved that, but I'll move that.
Okay.
Thank you.
A second. Moved by Duke York, Commissioner York, and seconded by Commissioner Chase. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I'll keep doing this. Thank you.
My condolences.
Yeah. Next on the agenda is three, consent agenda. A, excusable absences, as I already mentioned, Commissioner Luce is called in, the third house is present. Item B is meeting minutes, draft meeting minutes from December 12th, a 2012 meeting, and then the summary, item C, of administrative approvals. Are there any corrections to the minutes, comments on the consent agenda? Hearing none, I guess I can move this. Move approval of the consent agenda. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those oppose, I signify by saying no. Consent agenda and minutes are approved. Moving on, item four on the agenda is design review for 1010 North 11th Street in the North Slope Historic District. It's a retroactive review of an exterior cladding replacement and some other replacements on the house owned by Michael Everett. Mr. Everett, if you care, you can join us at the table. We'll start with the staff report, which Ruben will read. Then there's opportunity for anything that you'd like to add, opportunity for comments by commissioners and or input by you, and then a vote.
Give the background report. Built in 1890, this Queen Anne style home located at 1010 North 11th Street is a contributing structure in the North Slope Historic Special Review District. As part of the North Slope, it's listed on the Tacoma, Washington State, and National Registers of Historic Places. The current project is a retro application to remove and replace wood cladding on three elevations, including wood window trim, rotten porch posts, porch facing, and lattice. The wood corner boards on the front side, on the front and side of the house, were added to match what may have been original or added to the rear. The belly band, that dark color in the photo area, appears to be original to the house and is retained. The lower half of the house siding now matches the upper level new shingles. Previously, the shingles were larger, possibly 8-inch size. The purpose of the project began as a repair, but due to miscommunication by the construction worker and more deterioration than first planned for, the three elevations became involved. Previous photos from 1977 and 1996 in your packets show that the house has been altered. An enclosed porch was changed to an open porch area in 1996, or by 1996. No corner boards are visible, or they are very difficult to see in these early photos. In addition, the house exterior will be painted when the weather improves. And that next section, that is kind of a repeat as part of a draft of the project. So I'm not going to, I think everything is included in that. So I'm going to just move on to the next page. I think it's part of our draft staff report. This project was not proposed by staff for administrative review because of certain visual changes, the primary being the reconfiguration of the non-historic shingles on the lower story. Standards for consideration are the design guidelines for the Wedge Neighborhood and North Slope Historic Special Review Districts, and specifically Section 3, guidelines for the alteration of existing buildings for historic siding and exteriors. The guidance, I'll read that, overall guidance, for traditional materials found in the district for exterior cladding include horizontal wood siding, including various types and dimensions of drop siding and bevel siding, wood shingles and shakes, and to a lesser extent, brick, stucco, and half timbering and stone. The guidelines for exterior siding and materials follow. Number one, avoid removal of large amounts of original siding. Number two, repair small areas of failure before replacing all siding. It is rarely advisable to replace all of the existing siding in the home, both for conservation reasons and for cost reasons. Where there are areas of siding failure, it is most appropriate to spot repair as needed with small amounts of matching material.
Where extensive damage, including rot or other failure, has occurred, siding should be replaced with as much, with as close a material and visual match as feasible, including matching reveals, widths, configuration, patterns, and detailing. Guideline four, avoid changing the appearance, pattern, or configuration of original siding. The siding type, configuration, reveal, and shingle pattern are all are important elements of a home's historic character. Staff analysis. Item one, the home on the property is historically significant as a contributing structure in the North Slope Historic District. It was constructed in 1921. And I've read the rest of that sentence, that item. Item two, the Landmarks Preservation Commission has jurisdiction to review and approve or not approve changes to this building, including new construction for TMC 1307095, prior to those changes being made by virtue of its status as a city landmark. Item three, during repair of original historic siding, the removal and replacement of all of the existing wood shingles should be avoided, and in this case does not appear to meet the design guidelines for the Wedge and North Slope Historic Special Review Districts, specifically Section 3, Number 1, avoid removal of large amounts of original siding. However, the reported extensive deterioration may have necessitated the extensive removal. Item 4, the new siding on the upper level does match the original siding, thus meeting guidelines for exterior siding materials, number 4, which I've already read into the record, but specifically to avoid changing the appearance, pattern, or configuration of original siding. Item 5, the original level siding appears to have been 8-inch wood shingles, which does not match the newly installed siding. The new siding matches however, it matches the new upper level siding. Guidelines for exterior siding materials, guideline 4, specifically states to avoid changing the appearance, pattern, or configuration. The siding type, configuration, reveal, and shingle pattern all are important elements of a home's historic character. The 8-inch siding may have been installed in the 50s or 60s. There's no evidence of the original siding from historic photos. Item 6, the new addition of wood corner boards on the front and side of the house were installed for the purpose of matching the rear corner boards, which may have been a previous installation but may not be original or appropriate to the Queen Anne style house. Removal of the corner boards may be a consideration by the commission. And staff recommends adoption of the above analysis findings and recommends approval of the retroactive application by the commission pending consideration of the corner boards.
Thank you. Mr. Everett, did you want to add anything? You're not required to, but just if you chose to have any other comments.
No, the only comment I would have is, sorry we're here doing this, obviously, retroactively. In talking with Tony, expressed how this whole process occurred. During the summer, I did fire suppression. I don't know if this is in your notes or not, and I'm away, and I have a wife who likes to get things done. It's snowballed on us. My comment is, if you've ever watched this old house where you see the happy owner, the homeowners in the first scene, and you don't see him by scene five, that's kind of where I fell into this. So we love the neighborhood. We have the adjoining house, or the house next door to this, as our residence, and enjoy being in the neighborhood because of the historical site. So hopefully we can meet your requirements and continue the good relationship. So.
Thank you. Are there comments, questions from the commissioners?
I had one question, and that was about the boards, and there's a name for them, and I cannot think of it right off the top of my head. But under the window sills in the new
sill skirts,
is that the term? Okay. My thinking when I think of other houses, in fact, your other house down at the corner there, does not have that, and it reads to me as a more contemporary kind of thing that's done. I don't know whether other people could speak to that or not, but I was wondering if there was a particular reason for the skirts, or if that was something that was there originally, or.
I can't answer your question on the original. You actually have the earlier pictures.
Let's see. I think there are earlier pictures in here.
I our analysis that we reviewed at Tony's where the building was reshingled somewhere in the 60s, and it may have been added at that point. I honestly can't tell you those pictures.
But usually, you know, under the sill, there's like a bit of molding. You know, usually is pretty much all you have, rather than that larger skirt. And I was thinking that, I didn't know whether that was an issue that had come up when you guys had looked at it or not.
I'll just take this opportunity. I wanted to this brings up something else, as Gay mentioned. We mentioned that we did put this in the administrative review hopper because there are the biggest thing was the first story shingle, which to me, anyways, on my best guess, those were addition and modification to the house, but also just because there are detail changes here and there. And so I wanted the commission to have a chance to take a look at that. It was one of the things that that we've noticed. Of course, there's not clear photographs of what the details were like at that prior to the project going through, other than the other walls of the home, the other sides of the home that were done previously.
Now, I would agree that with your thought that the 8-inch shingles were probably a later addition, and probably the lower and the upper portions of this house were shingled with the same size. Shingles originally, and that probably the corner boards, at least on this this corner, are probably not there. It's probably more of the shingles variant of the Queen Anne, which would be, you know, pretty much just shingles. And just some small details, I think, that we're looking at here.
You're looking at the what the earlier pictures depict in this. I don't really have any issue with changing from the 8-inch siding back to the standard shingling on the bottom, because we don't have previous pictures. We have a lot of houses of this era that have the 6-inch standard shingling on the bottom. That's not a problem. I do have a little bit of a problem with the corner boards. I just don't see anything from the era of this house that have corner boards on them. And looking at these pictures a little more closely, try to, after all the work you've gone through here, which is significant, obviously, with all the shingling, to enforce taking those off and doing something different, it's going to entail quite a bit of work because the shingles don't line up at the corners. And so if you take those corner boards off and you run them in together, now you've got to take shingles back a little ways and adjust. And it's really going to be a pain, a lot of work weaving in the corners. But that the tight knot cedar wrap, just smooth straight wrapping on the posts and the corners, is not really something that's particularly historical in value. But I don't have a problem with the whole shingling as a whole.
I have a question. Is the new trim, the corner boards and the casing around the windows, is that all rough sawn cedar, or is it smooth?
It's not rough, it's more smooth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the original boards were painted smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that my, and Tony can correct me because she's actually been there, but they are smooth boards to my visual eye.
Have you talked with your contractor about removing the corner boards, what that might entail? So obviously the shingle issue, you'd have to be butting them, you have to get the
I sent Tony an email saying that I never really saw the corner boards until I received her email. Now they kind of poke me in the eye. And so it's actually something where I'm listening to your discussion and seeing your concerns and kind of going, do I want to have my eye poked every time I look at this house kind of thing. So I have looked at the possibility, but no, I have not contacted the contractor to see if what it would take to have those boards replaced. It, my recollection also would good matchup that would be not extensive compared to the scope of work we already did, but it would require work to get those shingles to come in and weave properly. The problem that we had when they, according to the, I wasn't there when they took it off, but because of the weaving and the gap that had grown in the weaving, was actually, there was some water that had gotten through there. So that's one of his causes for him to want to put corner boards on it, plus it did match what was on the backsides, which were probably retroactive. I think there was a power main change on the house when they brought it into the corner, and that's when they changed the corner to give it mounting to where they could mount the power main cables coming in. So I don't know what was original on it.
So there's some damage to the underlying structure, but
we caught it before the damage. Okay. But there's an indication there could have been. So.
In your email, if I can ask you a question, you did it. Maybe you just said this, that you would be willing to look at weaving cardboards together.
Yeah, that's
when exactly. The weather permits.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what you were asking.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about being poked in the eye, because you know, when something like that comes out and it starts to drive me nuts, I'm trying to decide if I've crossed that threshold for myself yet or not.
Is the house painted?
Yeah. No, it is not.
This is the condition that it's in.
That's it, yes. And the colors, if it matters to you, the colors on the south exposure, the alley exposure, would be the same colors, which were very similar to the ones that were in your 87 photographs, if I'm not mistaken. So light gray with the black, we changed the belly band to the black color.
I guess
color,
we
so.
Didn't have the color in 77.
Or 80, the 80, the, I shouldn't say that because I don't know what it. Oh, I'm sorry, I went with the Google map or the Google pictures that were of the house.
And I don't recall that.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a light, you were there, you saw the light blue with the black belly band. So that would be the same colors that are carried back and white trim on it.
Just for the commission information, I think everybody knows this, but the pink color of the house is the owner's choice under the district regulations.
Okay.
In addition to the shingles wrapping the corner and the vertical trim on the corners, sort of breaking the wrap of the shingles, the barge board that's at the first floor level as well, if we're considering the shingles wrapping the corner as well, I think that a house of this period, the barge board would be continuous as well and wouldn't have a corner trim on it to sort of reinforce that horizontal line that runs.
To clarify, are you talking about where the corner board comes down to the...
To the first floor.
So this piece would go around the corner instead of having the vertical element cut it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And whether it's the water table or the barge board, the houses of a kind of more shingle style always have those continuous horizontal elements that are down low.
Sort of like just like the belly band does on the mid-story there.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. I hadn't noticed that. I know for myself, I think I agree with what I believe is, sounds like it's becoming the consensus on the first story shingle exposure, are comfortable with what's there. I also would really prefer to see the barge boards removed to retain and have a more matching style to the period if possible. So I mean, corner boards. I'm sorry. Corner boards. Not barge. Barge boards are fine. My brain and my mouth often are not in sync. A side question before we vote, maybe this isn't appropriate before the vote, is you talked about the inspector and your interaction with the inspector to Ruben. Is this in? Were you picking up any issue there? Do you have any issue with the inspector? Well, this is apart from your issue
and
altogether.
Actually, I have some additional information.
Oh, please.
I'm not sure if he was an inspector or if he was a labor inspector.
Oh, you mean that's in a building inspector?
Because he was concerned about the fellas working. And so it may have, unless you have other information.
So it might have been L&I inspection.
Yeah. So there's a possibility of that. And that just was brought to my attention the other day that when I described the conversation to someone, they said, that sounds more like an L&I person than
the licensing.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally we do have coordination slip ups, but I'll I'll be sure to make sure, you know, make sure that we don't have that. I know that the area inspector, John Kendall, and our permit guys are all very much aware of the historic district. So,
are there comments, questions?
Can I ask one question, just for the commission? I think earlier Marshall brought up the cell skirt, I don't know what further discussion on that, but I guess I'd ask a question too. I'm looking at the shingling here, and it looks like the way the shingle courses line up with the sills, if that's pulled off, there's going to be at least a few inch gap under a couple of those, probably. Is that? But I don't know. You know, Marshall mentioned, you know, in many houses that there will be like a little molding piece or something that's underneath that is tucked up underneath, and you might. I don't know if anybody has any huge concerns over that, but it may be possible also to address that with a molding piece as well, especially if the house is painted with the trim contrasting color. That might have a beneficial appearance probably to the period appearance. And I don't know, since that just was raised and it hadn't been discussed further, I just wanted to make sure that that piece was also discussed.
I don't see the skirt pieces being a terribly significant issue. It may be in conflict with history, but when it's painted, if you choose to nude that out, you can match that with the rest of the house while you're contrasting painting the trim, and it will blend and be certainly less obvious, which is a real quick and easy way to get away from that.
I hadn't noticed until Marshall mentioned it. I think your point is valid. I think I'm more concerned with the corner boards, and on those I would include it in a motion, but that's just my opinion.
I have a question on the sides that still have the original siding. Is that sill skirt, is there a sill skirt that large present on the other sides? I can't quite tell from the windows. Is that where that dimension came from, or because I think we want to match that.
I don't think there are any skirts on the side that has not been.
Okay.
If you look at the rear image of the house where the basketball hoop is in back, it looks like you know that area has been re-sided, but the windows don't have a sill skirt on those either. So.
I rode by there this evening, and my recollection is that I didn't see it, but I don't know. I can't swear to that that's the case.
Was the railing added on the front porch?
That I can't answer. We took possession of the house about, I'm guessing, about 3 years ago.
So it wasn't done.
It was always open.
No.
If you look on there, the actual banister, we made sure the original banister to us, that the banister went back in place.
Yeah. So,
I like the wrap on your windows in your house.
Is that my house?
I think so.
Yeah.
No, that's actually the next house down on the corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the west.
So it's present on one elevation that's remaining, but wasn't where they re-shingled. So I don't.
It depends on how the commission feels. Yeah. I think that Commissioner York did mention that that when you're looking at something like this with the very bright trim and the darker field color, it's striking if the skirts are painted to match body color or field color, then I mean it's really up to the commission, this detail.
So while we could recommend color, it seems like obviously in suggesting that when it is painted, the possibility would just be to paint the sill skirts the same color as the body of the house.
If that's something the commission...
As opposed to, or alternatively, ask that they be removed or require they be removed.
Correct.
Yeah. Are you feeling like we might be at the place of...
Let's take a shot at a motion here.
Please. Thank you.
I would move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission approve the application submitted with the stipulations that the corner boards, the vertical corner boards, be removed so that the shingle siding woven together, and that is included down through the skirt board at the bottom, so the skirt board is extended over to meet in the corners. And also suggest, I don't know if this is a stipulation, maybe a suggestion, that the skirts on the windows be painted the main color to blend.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner York and second by Commissioner Jensen. Is there discussion on the motion?
Oh, may I ask a question? And that, are we just talking about the one corner that is exposed out to the street or to the corners that are in the back alley?
Well, we're not talking about the whole house, I think, are we?
Except maybe this one right here.
Isn't this kind of a fall column?
Yeah.
So you have two on the rear.
Two on the rear, and then the
and one in
yeah.
the front.
That's correct.
No, the vertical. So
I say yes on all these. You can see, like on this photo, there's that gap where it flares out, so
that's what's happening here. That's where the flare starts.
Yeah, so it's already woven there.
On the bottom.
But I mean, the three quarters is where it stops.
You can actually see on the existing this back corner there where the previous
that's the front.
Well, this would only address address what's already there from previous work.
This one over here was original to us at the salt port, so that's why we matched these other ones to it.
Yeah, I don't know that we can make a change which would be something that would be considered existing, but that would make the house consistent all the way around. But I think that the corners, since they're being redone, should be woven.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just a little bit concerned about the one that's on the alley that was boards before we started the whole project and changing that one in addition. I'm a little bit concerned. I believe the power main goes through there and it's a little more extensive, but it's not that big of a thing.
It looks as if there's also at the porch, there's a trim board between the new and the existing work that looks like it more than likely was original as well, given that the top trim kind of continues over the top of it. It's hard to see because there's a tree in front of it.
The porch corner by this corner?
Yep. I don't think that's a column. Is that a column or is it trim? Or a little above?
I'm assuming it's trim.
Yeah.
It should not be. There'd be no structural reason for calling them. So.
Where does that wall come out beyond? If you look at the image above.
Well, you can see in the picture. Does it look like trim?
Yeah.
Column trim?
That means once it was brought forth before, so.
The one that I'm a little bit worried about is the power lines coming in on that door up there.
Yes.
Like I say, like that we can take care of. Just
from a sort of from staff's perspective, we don't know when that was done at all. It could have been done years and years ago. Obviously, since whenever this last Google Street View drive-by was done. And as far as, I mean, so it was existing prior to this siting project, this before the commission was started. And like Commissioner York said, at least from our perspective, that's considered existing. While the commission, I think, could recommend that be modified to match the house, be more historically correct, I don't think it's within the commission's authority in the scope of this particular project to do that.
So just to clarify then, do we just be this set of boards at the forward?
Right, the new Sears
shingling. Yeah, the new work.
Okay. And the new work only. Okay. Any other discussion?
I will define that as the, I got to get my positions there, so that would be the northwest corner of the property.
Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, aye. All those opposed by saying no. Motion passes.
So to clarify for the record, I just want to make sure we have this completely straight. This is the approval of the project with the condition that the corner boards on the newly installed shingle areas be removed and that the barge board running along the base of the wall be continuous horizontal, not be broken by the corner boards, and that there's a recommendation that carries with that to paint the sill skirts the matching color to the body of the house.
And the shingles are okay.
And the shingles are fine.
The barge board on both the first and the second level, because it does break the line on both of them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for your
Carol, patience.
Next agenda.
I was just going to say, I'll talk with you about the approval. We'll have a written approval in the next couple days.
Okay.
No, in the next couple days. Probably closer to next week.
Okay.
And I'll let enforcement know that you came tonight.
Sweet, Nick. Excuse
you. You are. Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Tell me your
appointment. Thanks for coming in.
Next agenda item are chair comments, and I have none. Staff comments?
I have a couple, and I think there may be a comment from the commissioner or two, but I wanted to run through a couple of different things or inquiries that I've received and some things that are going on. First of all, you have probably all received your pagoda opening in the mail, your fancy invitation. When we've made a copy, if you haven't, it'll be fun. It'll be on Saturday. I'm going to be there. And it's a very, very extensive project and very, very complicated. My understanding is the building will be placed on the historic register, or at least ask for your blessings to be placed on the historic register. I am the National Register as well, so they've been doing all the work with that in mind. And so there's going to be a big party, and you know, it's a party in the Landmarks Commission. So the second thing is, I just want to let everybody know that the Historic Preservation Office is, if you've ever been in my office, we're moving to the third floor from the 10th floor. And so if we're hard to find and seem kind of frazzled and disoriented, it's because we're moving all of our lateral files and all of our buildings and records and everything 7 floors down, and they're trying to find a place to put them. And this is part of the reorganization, consolidation of all the planning, long-range planning functions that were in economic development, now in planning development services, which is a new department. It's actually an old department that's become new again, because this is the organizational chart that we had about 20 years ago. And so the planning has been restored as a department. Historic preservation is going along with that. And so we're all going to be in the customer accessible third floor. And so at any rate, that's sort of, that's what's happening. And so all sorts of things are going to change. We're, you know, the code's been changed. All of our addresses are being changed. And so you know, we'll probably have well into the next year all sorts of small problems from that, but just to let you know. Phone number should be the same. Email will be the same. I had questions, just a follow-up. First of all, the minimum building and structures code update, this commission was briefed several months ago on the minimum building structures of the code enforcement code update. We'll have more information on this going forward, but they were, if you recall, if anybody recalls, back in December before the Neighborhoods and Housing Committee with the anticipated due pass. They've done a lot of revisions to that code. We've been trying to make improvements for it in terms of how historic buildings are being treated or historically significant buildings that are in the code enforcement process, dangerous buildings, derelict buildings, substandard, and so on. And Lisa Witanowicz, their division manager, came to this commission to brief the commission on that, and there's some discussion. Some things have changed since that discussion. They did not get their due pass on the primarily because of historic preservation concerns. There are certain elements, how the historic resources inventory that we have for the city and other things played into that, the notification process, how well the code enforcement process communicated with this commission, things like that, that were raised by some citizens of historic Tacoma. So we're working on making some of those short-term changes and some longer-term ones that are going to be part of maybe a bigger picture shift. But I just want to let you know that Historic Tacoma will be meeting with the code enforcement staff next week, and we will be back, or I will be back, with, I believe, quite a few more details for this commission, too, as to what the outcome of some of those discussions have been. And it'll be an improvement, a big one. And we'll have a sort of a scope and schedule and outline for the commission. I've had some questions about the status of 1207 North K Street, and I just wanted to let the commission know that was the extensive remodel of that four-square-ish house on K Street that went through last year's fairly controversial because of the treatment on the house and because of the proposed use, and specifically for the North Slope and Marshall. I wanted to let you know that the land use application for that project, you knew that was denied by the land use administrator, which is being replaced by the planning director, but same function, that they have filed for a reconsideration. And the timeline on that is indefinite. They haven't filed for an appeal. The reconsideration will be with the planning director. After that, there's an appeals process of that, you know, if they choose to do that. The appeals process is the hearing examiner's process. So I don't have a timeline for, you know, when the reconsideration period is going to, how long that'll last.
Does everybody remember what this is? So just the brief story is that the property owner, Mr. Kozecki, originally came to an ARC, was proposing to do a duplex. Then he discovered that a duplex was not allowable without a
conditional use permit.
And so he proceeded with his plan under a single family with an ADU arrangement, and then applied for the conditional use permit. And the conditional use permit was turned down for the duplex. So now he's back with a single family with an ADU, but the way he constructed the two apartments in the house does not meet the size requirements for a single family with ADU. So the two apartments are too close to the same square footage. An ADU has to be 40% less than the main dwelling unit. So anyway, so that's the appeal, or not appeal, but rather reconsideration, the first step, and then an appeal would be sort of the next step, and so on. So
does he wind up coming back through here at any time?
Not unless there's the design change to the project, and so this is a land use issue primarily right now. I mean, there could be an outcome that requires some changes to the building that then would come to this commission. And and there may be, I have no idea at this point, but there may be a request for any commentary from this commission as to, I don't know. But as far as, this is primarily a sort of a land use and neighborhood issue that relates to the historic building and the extensive remodel that he's had underway too. And so, I think that some of the arguments that have been made in the land use application process refer to the historic significance of the building, which is sort of antithetical to the argument that was made at this commission about the design. But, you know, that's, I guess, neither here nor there.
And it also plays into the change that the commission made in its bylaws about not having design reviews that have a land use issue pending coming before the commission because of what happened essentially was that the argument was being made that well, we need to make this change, or I need to make these changes in order to be able to do this. But the land use issue hadn't been settled yet. So, again, by removing that, settle the land use issue, settle any variance issues, then you can come to the commission.
Thanks for your clarification. I remember the house, I didn't remember the issue.
The Shelley, next house. I've got a couple. I've got two more North Slope houses. There's a pending ARC for 1216 North J Street, and the we haven't confirmed that yet, but we're just checking people's availability for February 6th.
No, next
Wednesday.
But with the maybe change in that.
So stay tuned. So that'd be January 16th. Stay tuned. But this is 1216 North J Street. And just to follow up on some of the questions, there is a stop work order on the house, on the project. An exterior chimney on the sidewall has been removed from the house at this point. And so we're tentatively with the ARC. We're working on with the owner on their plans and relative to the design guidelines for the district. And we'll be trying to at least make sure everybody's aware of those requirements. And so we'll, in the next couple of days, we'll be able to tell you if that's a go for next Wednesday. And then lastly, Tony, can you bring up 1904 Steele? Yeah, I'm going to try to get more organized about this in the future, maybe having a sort of a status update on some of these different issues. But there are lots of different things going on, so probably...
Is that because I used to?
No.
Oh, okay.
It is not. It is the house up on blocks.
All of these houses are
within
the
same block.
Including the one you reviewed tonight.
Well, every
across the street.
Every couple of years, we have like a magic block
.
In the historic district.
This one had the porch and the
vine. So this house is actually kind of...
It's the father's son project.
Yeah, and it was pretty, I consider it kind of spectacular. I looked at it when it was first for sale, and the foundation was failing. And the thing that was so amazing about this is the same, the individual who lived there had lived there his entire life since the 30s and had basically walked from the kitchen to his couch to his piano in that pattern for about, 60 years and had worn a path into the floor there. But all the fixtures and everything in the house were original, right around 1930, a little earlier maybe. It was his parents' house. The foundation was failing. He passed on, and someone bought it, and the commission approved the lifting of the house and the redoing of the foundation. They had a permit on it. They've had a permit outstanding for a long time, and it's been up on blocks, and now it's been fenced for probably 2 or 3 years now. Is that?
I don't think it's more than two.
At the time, the house, the foundation wall, there was a little basement, and it ran kind of midway through the wing at the the left, they're kind of bisected it, and then that side of the house, the actual skirting came right down, was sitting on the ground. But anyways, it's been like this with no work continuing for a long time, and we've been hearing a lot about it. This is a code enforcement case. The permits are going to expire, and I believe they're probably going to be revoked by the city, and it's going to turn into a derelict building. At this point, I don't have any sort of, this is a heads up more to the commission. I don't know, you know, be aware, I guess, that the city is going to take action on this. I don't, it's not going to be take action, I don't mean we're going to go out there and knock it down, but there's going to be pressure that's going to be applied to the owners to resolve this issue. It needs, you know, foundation. Foundations are expensive, and then it needs to be put back on that foundation. So I don't know. We may again hear from the property owner. They have an active permit, but the permit will be revoked for lack of work progress. And I don't have the exact date on that. I haven't got my status report back on that, but very soon. So be aware of this, if anybody has any ideas knows anybody.
You haven't talked with the owners?
Not recently. I did talk to them a while back when they finally did pull the building permit on it, and they just needed to make sure that they had the Landmarks Commission approval and so forth, which they did. And then they started it, but then haven't taken any steps further. So I don't know exactly what their situation is. It's a nice little house. It used to have an arbor, if you can tell, in the front there, too. But at any rate, so just again, this is a heads up issue. It
violates every setback requirement that ever existed in the city.
Which is probably why it's still standing.
Of course, I mean it's right. It's like what you see there of like
is
little
the
yard is about all there is. I mean that red little fencing there is actually at the sidewalk.
They're going to do all the restoration of siding and windows.
When this house was for sale, I had a couple inquiries about demolishing the house and replacing it with something else, but nobody that approached this project could figure out the variance problems on it, because I think by the time you get all the setbacks in there, you probably have could put a trampoline in the yard.
You can continue the same nonconformance,
yeah,
though, if,
yes,
regarding those setbacks.
So
they were very, interested in restoring it.
Oh, yeah. No, I talked with them when they were very first started.
So, that's 1901 North Steele. Now, just to kind of frame this out, a few blocks up North Steele Street, there was a code enforcement action several years ago, and the actual commission did approve the design review on that, and that was a dangerous building action, and they took that through a hearing, and another person did pick that building up and restore it, and now it's a beautiful house right on the street. So we do have some success examples along this area of code enforcement, getting it, together, getting the buildings back online. So, one of the things you'll see coming forward to is that as they come up, this commission is going to be much better informed by code enforcement of pending actions. So you'll see more of this as they come forward. I mentioned the minimum building code status. And then I guess the last thing the building code live work updates, and did you have anything you wanted to mention about that?
Sure. I don't know how familiar all of you are with that effort through the city to provide a way for live workspace to exist in Tacoma. Historic Tacoma has been working on it quite a bit, and Arts Leadership Lab has been working on it. I guess, as you were telling me, the land use issues are all sorted out and in place, but some of the building code issues and fire code issues have yet to be resolved that would make this possible. But it's a great opportunity for adaptive reuse of historic buildings, and I felt it was something maybe we should consider writing a letter of support for, since it does apply pretty directly to historic preservation. So I kind of wanted to throw that out there and see if anybody would be interested in pursuing that a little further.
Just, I can provide a little bit of background.
Yeah.
The city's embarked on starting early this year on sort of a multi-front effort to encourage adaptive reuse of existing older buildings and the live, work, work, live style of rehabilitation as one major strategy. And there's a major user constituency group with the arts community and people in those live workspaces. And so fire and the seismic components of the building code and some of the things that are triggered by changes of use in existing buildings have become some of our significant issues. We have the land use regulations and zoning amendments that have been in place. Council adopted those earlier this year. We're in a state of a little bit of confusion right now as to what different jurisdictions have done differently with building code in certain areas. There's a rumor that's been going around for a long time that Seattle, the city of Seattle, actually had some exemptions under the state building code regulations to do, you know, different kinds of code development. And the more people I've talked to, and people can correct me if anybody knows differently, but this isn't the case as far as I can tell after talking with DPD's manager of code development and so forth. It just so happens that the state building code council directly regulates single family and multifamily building code development, meaning they actually formally approve it, whereas commercial building code, you have to conform to certain aspects of state law, but it's not a formal approval process. And so some jurisdictions are very progressive and innovative about how they develop the building code, whereas others are maybe less energetic about it. But you know, there's a minimum performance standard that you have to meet. You cannot back away from that when the state has adopted its building code. And by state building code, I mean the International Building Code or IEBC or whatever. The state adopts that, and that becomes the code. And then if jurisdictions want to amend that, they can, but they can't lower the standards. That's under state law, performance standards. And so it's complicated, and we get the feeling that, that there's land use planners don't talk the same language as building code guys. And so there's a little bit of that going on. And so at any rate, we're trying to figure out the best way to approach that, and really is, you know, our building codes as they've been adopted and amended in Tacoma more or less or the same in terms of restrictiveness or barriers to both incremental style development or rehabilitation, meaning you bring in low impact, low risk, low dollar cost uses into buildings that are not presently being used, live work being an example of that, and then, you know, phase in the requirements, or are there ways to, you know, separate uses or compartmentalize uses or whatever, you know, under our code, that we could address some of these issues without decreasing performance standards or causing life safety problems. And so that's an initiative. And I talked to Commissioner Ray, and I talked, and we also were considering asking the some of our building code people to have a discussion with the Landmarks Commission to at one of the meetings, just describe the effort, describe what some of the significant issues might be, or what some of the touch points are, that kind of thing, and things that can move. But this is a real strong priority of our planning department, and obviously with the arts community, there was a recent Arts Leadership Lab did a roundtable discussion, and so this might be something actually that the several commissioners are interested in. I can imagine in terms of trying to, you know, we're trying to make sure that we have every tool in the toolkit available, and one of our, if you want to call them assets, one of our strongest assets in the city of Tacoma is older, underutilized buildings, So at any rate, and Commissioner Ray mentioned that the Landmarks Commission might want to extend his formal support to that effort as well. So,
would it be appropriate to send a draft letter now, or should we meet with the officials first, or do you have a sense of timing?
Sequence? At this point, it's a priority. There is a work plan, I believe, a planning development department. Services department work plan that has a schedule for code adoption and amendment, looking at these issues. It's in their work plan anyways, and so I think that a letter expressing support and interest in that process would be well received, I think.
Letter.
And really, even at this point, it's a discussion that's occurring with our building people. But Peter Huffman, the director, now the interim director of planning, has been pushing this effort as well. Now he's a planner, but the building official and the building code people are now within the planning and development services department. So I think any sort of encouragement, interest, or even, you know, if the like I said, interest in being involved, I think is very, very welcome.
Comments, or?
So would this be this wouldn't be a letter to council, because council doesn't
have it yet.
Not there yet.
Correct.
So it would be to who would we be writing?
I guess would it be to the planning department then, or what?
You could write it to Peter or to the city manager.
That's true.
And I, you know, I can actually inquire. I can talk to folks to see. I mean, because it'd be a formal. Basically, when this commission writes letters, it's a formal expression of commission's position on something. And so I can inquire at the best avenue for that. This commission is appointed by city council, and so. You know, either the city manager or if there's an interested council committee on it, we can address it to that direction too.
So are all the elements under Peter now?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Jana Magoon was just here talking to us as the land use administrator a few weeks ago. Is she?
Jenna is still with MPDS, and the land use administrator position is going away, and that authority is being assumed into the director's office. And so,
it's Peter Huffman's office.
Yep. And so it's the same function, though. It's like many planning offices function that way, where the director is the final discretionary authority on some of the, like, you know, high level land use matters. And so, high level is it more specific? So that authority is Jana is part of the department structure. She's actually my cubicle neighbor coming next week. So, we can figure out the appropriate venue and work on. I can work with Commissioner Ray on the verbiage and so forth. That would.
Do you require a motion, or is it just?
Letters from the commission require a motion. And what we can do is, or you can direct us to write it, and then you can approve it later. I mean, it's either way. It's not. I'm easy.
Care to make a motion? Yeah. Or I could just say so.
All right. Did somebody
go
say
ahead.
I miss?
Oh, would you care to make a motion?
Oh.
To,
yes, I would. I would move that the commission direct staff to compose a letter of support for the Live Workspace initiative.
What we can do is we'll have a draft for signature at the next Landmarks meeting, and so the commissioners will have a chance to take a look at it and provide additional guidance if needed, and we can even circulate it for comment for that. So
that was motion second.
We can put
information on the live work.
Speaking of that, I mean, I mentioned that earlier, we could actually include in that letter, we can include an invitation or a request to have a presentation or discussion about the issue to the commission.
I would like that.
Okay.
I feel like I'm a little short on knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, I can send out some more information as well.
Great. Thank you.
Motion by Commissioner Ray, second by Commissioner Jensen. Is there a discussion? If not, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion's carried. Are there any other comments, questions, announcements?
Oh,
and actually, I have one. Is this just an update for the most current?
That's our guaranteed 98% typo-free.
Other than my comment, are there any other comments or questions? Okay. Hearing none,
we
are adjourned.